We're holding on them days on the days, about three quarters of the way down the arm of the line, begins a medrash. We started discussing yesterday the case where you have an eved who is ma'ukav get shifra. He's already out of the control of his owner, but he's still awaiting a get shifra. We talked about yesterday the question: does his former master still get the knas if he gets killed by a shur? And now the Gemara sort of takes up another case involving him. Ma'ukav get shifra. This eved who has not yet received his get shifra. If he was an eved of a kohen previously, is he still allowed to eat truma or not? Now, Tosfos discusses: Are we still talking about both cases? Are we still talking about one where his master made him hefker or hekfish or what have you, or two where he's a chetzi eved and chetzi ben kohen, or maybe not? Tosfos compares it with maybe in the Well, again, right. So the case of the hefker, for example, would be that he said, "You're hefker. I don't have any ownership over you anymore." But he still needs to get shikur, according to some. According to many opinions, he still needs to get shikur. We had at the very beginning of this whole discussion about avodim. We had Shmuel versus Rav and Rav Yechanan, and Shmuel saying you don't, Rav and Rav Yechanan saying you do. We talked yesterday about the case where the master knocked out a tooth or his eye or one of the other avodim. Doesn't need to get shikur or not. Is it automatic or not exactly? And there's also the case of the chetzi eved, the chetzi ben chorin, the case of our Mishnah, where the Mishnah Achroina, the final decision, is that Beis conceded to Beis Shammai that you have to force the master to free him, and therefore we can effectively consider as if he's already free now, but he needs to get shichur. So Tosfos discusses: are we talking about both cases still in this case, or maybe just one of them? So Tosfos compares it with a Gemara in Krisus, which talks about that. The Shlokish over there says that actually he would be able to eat Truma. But Tosfos says, okay, so maybe then our Gemara disagrees with that one. Or maybe the difference is, Tosfos says that maybe actually here we're only talking about a Chetzi Eved and a Chetzi Ben Chorin. Maybe there's no reason to ask about the other case where he was Mufker based on that Gemara over there where it seems that he would be able to.
So Krisus is before we get Shifra.
So according to that, what Tosfos is saying is that the Gemara in Krisus would be talking about a case where his master was Mufker him, where even though he was Mufker him, he can still eat Shifra until he gets to get Shifra. All Gemara, which is asking whether yes or no, wouldn't be talking about that. It would only be talking about the Chetzi Eved and the Chetzi Ben Chorin. Or you could say maybe all Gemara disagrees with the one in Krisus.
That would be
not necessarily, because that's according to Rish Lakish. You could say that our Gemara goes like that. Yeah. So, what are the two ways of looking at it? Do we say Kinyan Kaspe Amar Rahmana? The Pasuk says that a Kohen slave who's owned, who's purchased by him with money, the Torah says, is allowed to eat Truma. The High Lak Kinyan Kaspe. At this point, he does not Kinyan Kaspe, because his master doesn't own him anymore, because he was master him or what have you. Or maybe since he still needs his document, his get shikr, kinyan kaspe kodinabe, maybe we can still call that there's to a certain extent, there still is a kinyan on him. Huh? By the way, a number of achronim deal with the question: if the guy is a chetzi eved and chetzi ben chorin, what makes us think he could eat truma anyway? The half of him that's ben chorin is now a Yisrael, not allowed to eat truma. So what are we even thinking that he should be able to eat? What are we even thinking that he should be able to eat Truma? If half of him is an Eben and half of him is a Ben Chorin, then how is he able to eat Truma? He still can't eat Truma. No. We're talking according to the Machkana, according to the Mishnah Achrona, that his master is supposed to free him. Besides which, also remember, you could have a Shifcha who doesn't have to be freed, whatever. But so they give a variety of answers to it, among others, maybe in fact he would be allowed to, because after all, the half of him that's still the Eved of a Kohen is benefiting from it. So it would be the equivalent sort of
the other half is not.
Fine, but the Marashah talks about that it might be allowed, and other Achronim later on explain that it might be, for example, the same principle as, for example, you're allowed to take oil of Truma, which is Tameh, and light a candle with it, which both Kohenim and Yisraelim are going to be benefiting from that candle. So Kohenim are benefiting from it, even though Yisraelim are as well. Same thing over here. The half of him that's the Eved of a Kohen would be benefiting from it. The fact that the other half of him or the Yisrael was also would be neither here nor there. They talk about other possibilities. Also, it could be talking about, for example, we learned in Yevamos that you can have an Eved who owns other Avadim. You could have over here, effectively, the half of him who is an Eved of a Kohen owns the other half of himself, which is a Ben Chorin, and therefore he's an Eved of a Kohen, and therefore he could eat.
Well, I could look into
Okay, the Chassam Sofer talks about that not necessarily. Are we talking that he's allowed to, but if he does eat truma, is he chayav to repay it or not? Okay. Toshma, the Amr of Meshavshia, comes proof from a case that a Meshavshia says. Tehenna is actually a Mishnah that we learned in Yevamos, so there's a bit of a question why the Gemara quotes it in a Meshavshia's name rather than as a Mishnah. Okay, anyway. Tehenna shinis arev vladib revlachivcha. So if you have a wife of a Kohen whose child got mixed up with the child of her shivcha, so, you know, we learned about a family last year. They were in hiding, for example. Each of them had a baby, and we don't know which one is which. So both of them are allowed to eat truma, because one is a Kohen and the other is Eved, and then both a Kohen and his Eved are allowed to eat truma. But they only get one portion when truma is given out of the granary, and actually we learned that in Yevamos, it actually quotes it over here, that it doesn't just mean they get one chelik, that's pretty obvious. It means that you can only give them a chelik if they both come together. Because if either one comes by himself, he might be the Eved. And the Tana of this Mishnah holds that you can't give an Eved Truma without his master being there, because people will think that he's a Kohen, and people will mistakenly think that he's a Kohen. Higdilu Ataruvus, continues the Mishnah, once these two mixed-up kids grow up, Meshachrim Zezet, then they have to free each other, because each one of them is a Sofet, a Kohen or an Eved. He can't marry anybody, he can't marry a Bas Kohen, he can't marry a Shifcha. Therefore, each of them needs to free the other. Now, what do we see from that? That even though that we're saying that before
the other one.
Well, the point is, before each of them is Me'ukav Get Shifcher, neither one is actually working for the other one, because you never know which one is the master and which one is the slave, and we're saying they can eat truma. So you see that a Me'ukav Get Shifcher can eat truma. What's the talking hashtag? How can you think to compare these kids? Yeah. Well, that one of them is a Kohen, one's an Eved. We don't know which one is which. We must have talking hashtag. How do you think to compare these two cases? Suppose that Eliyahu HaNavi comes and tells us, we do trust Eliyahu HaNavi when it comes to figuring out the actual facts. We don't necessarily accept from him if he says who the halacha is like, but we do accept from him to ferret out the actual facts. If he comes and tells us, or to put it in modern terms, we have DNA testing, that tells us that one of them is a Kohen, and the other one is the Eved, Kenyan Kasper Karinabe, good, then we know at that point which one's the master, which one's the slave, and therefore there's no reason to ask. In this case, when the master was masking him, or when he's a chetzi eved, chetzi ben chorin, and is on the verge of being freed or whatever, he's not Kenyan Kasper at this point. The Gemara leaves the question unresolved, and therefore the halacha that Amram Paskin, the halacha that he's not allowed to eat from it.
What's up? Are you asking the Kenyan Kasper, both of them?
Because does she necessarily? That's a good point. But maybe does he's asking why can't the wife of the Kohen be Meshachra both of them? Why do we need to wait till they grow up?
No, answer the question.
No, that's not the point. It's a side thing he's asking. It's a good point. I don't know. We could be talking about, for example, if the mother has died or whatever.
But it doesn't have our discussion.
That's not the point. The point it's a side issue. Why do we need to wait till they deal? Yeah. Okay. Now they had another question. Eved Shemacher Rabbi Leknas. What if an Eved was sold by his master, not to the extent that this Eved is going to be working for you or anything like that, only to the extent that if he gets killed by an ox, then the owner of that ox will pay you the Knas rather than me. Macher Ein Macher, is that considered a valid sale or not? Different Rishonim talk about, are we talking only if he sells, Tosfos discusses over here, we're only talking about if he sells him for the Knas. If he were to sell the Knas itself, that for sure would be no good, because Dabar Shaloi Bal Olam, it's something that doesn't yet exist in the world, and there's not even any reasonable chance that it will. That's the point. In other words, the Gemara is going to say in a minute that you could look at it, you know, the Eved exists, the Shur exists, the potential for this Knas does exist, therefore maybe it's a valid sale. So Tiboru le Rameir, Tiboru le Rabbanan. You can actually ask this question both according to the mayor and according to the Rabbanan. The mayor who says that a person can be makna dov shalav alam, as we've learned previously, and the Rabbanan who say that not. Tiboru le Rameir, you can ask the question according to the mayor, because ad kam lo tamer of mayor other makna dov shalav alam. You know when Rameir would say that you can be makna something that doesn't yet exist. Because when Peres Deco, for example, he says you can sell the fruit of a palm tree before it actually grew, David also, where it's expected that this fruit is going to grow.
But
Avohacha, but when it comes to here, maybe the mayor would say differently. First of all, who says this Eved is ever going to be good? And even if he does get gored and killed, who says that the owner of this ox is going to end up having to pay that knas? Because what if he admits in Beis Din before? The general rule with knasim, there's a concept in halacha, moyeh b'knas potter. If somebody owes something which is defined in halacha as a knas, the 30 shkalim for an eved, the 50 shkalim for an onus or for an onus or mafase, or any the tashlomei kefal, tashlomei avraham hamisha, a number of examples. The din is if he admits sin and based sin before edim comes, then he's potter from paying it. The logic is that the Torah is only mechayiv him, and if edim came and said that he did it, he or his ox or whatever did it. If he himself admits it, then you can't penalize him with a knas. No, because if the guy admits, then he admits. Then before the Adam came, yeah. That's the din, Moedib Knas Potter. So in this case, even if this Evid were to be gored and killed, maybe the owner of the ox, if he goes and admits in Beis Din ahead of time, then he'll be Potter. So therefore, it's a very far-fetched possibility that there will actually be this Knas. Maybe even a mayor would agree in that case. That's not something that you can validly sell before it actually happens. And the Tiboy Lidabon. And similarly, you can ask this question the other way around according to the Rabbanon, because Ad Kam like Tamar Rabbanon ain't not a Makna Dover Shalabal Olam, Elok is going to pay this debt. On the contrary, when did the Rabbanon say you can't be Makna something that doesn't yet exist? For example, the fruit, the Hashta Mia Lester, where the fact is the fruit doesn't exist right now. Aval Hacha, Hakoy Shor, Hakoy Eved. In this case, the Shor already exists, the Eved already exists, all of the prerequisites that are necessary for there to be this Knas already exist. Which, okay, the Rashba asked the question, why don't you say the same thing with fruit? The tree already exists, all the prerequisites exist. He has a hard time with that. Different Rishonim give different possibilities. One of them, the Meiri, says, practically speaking, the Peiris Dekel, yes, we know they're going to eventually grow, but there's no possibility of them growing right now. Whereas with the Evid and his Knas, potentially, the minute after you sell the rights to the Knas, he could go out into the street and get gored by an ox. So what's the din? Do we say that that's considered a valid sale or not? Somewhat of Abba Toshma. Come, let's prove from a Braita. The Pasuk tells us again, that's the same Pasuk that we quoted before, that a Kohen's Eved is allowed to eat Truma. And the Pasuk mentions two kinds. The Kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kasboi. If a Kohen buys somebody with his money, then that somebody, a slave, can eat Truma. The lid basically, and a slave that's born in his household, meaning to one of his shrachos, they can also eat from his bread, meaning from his Truma. So, a Braita says, when it says the lid bias, that a slave who's born in the house, what do we need that for? On the face of it, if you know already that one who was born is able to eat Truma, lechora, how much more so one who was born already in the household? In Kenyan Kesef Oichel, you live by it like Oshkin. If a slave who was bought with money is allowed to eat Truma, how much more so one who was born in your household or one of your maidservants? The answer is Ilu Kain, because if the Pasuk only mentioned the Kenyan Kesef, then you would say like this, Ma Kenyan Kesef Shiesh Beshava Kesef Oichel. You know what? So a slave who was bought with money, meaning he has a monetary value. After you live by it, Shiesh Beshava Kesef Oichel. So you would think maybe also, yes, you live by it can eat. Maybe you don't need the puzzle to tell us that. But only if he has a monetary value. How do we know that it applies, the Eved is able to eat Truma, even if he is completely worthless? How he can be worthless, we'll talk about in a minute. Talmud Lomi, you live by it in the Kol Makom. That's why the puzzle has to mention that you live by it, to tell us no matter what, whether he has a value or not, he still eats Truma. But then we would still think to say, you live by is ben shiesh beshava kesef, ben shiesh beshava kesef. Fine, based on that, we would say, okay, the fact that the Pasuk mentions you live by it implies, regardless, whether he has a monetary value or not, even if he's worthless, he can still eat truma. Kinyan kesef, but you would think with an eved who was bought with money, maybe only yesh beshava kesef oichel, ein beshava kesef ein oichel, maybe he can only eat truma if he has a shava kesef. If he's lost all his value since he was purchased, maybe he can't. Talmud Lama, no, therefore the Pasuk mentions both of them in the same Pasuk. Kinyan Kasvei V'Yilid Beisei. It mentions them both in the same Pasuk, the one bought with money and the one born in the house. So we make a heckish. Ma Yilid Bayis Akvishena Shavu Kol Marichol. Just like a slave born in the household, even if he's not worth anything, he eats Truma. That's what we said, that's what the word Yilid Bayis itself comes to teach us. Akvishena Shavu Kol Marichol, the same way the Kinyan Kasvei. Thus far, the Braisa. Now we got to consider. Now, what we're going to discuss is basically how is it possible to have an Eved who has no monetary value? The Isak Kedaitach, Eved Shemacher, Rabbele Knas Macher. So if you're going to tell me that it is possible to sell the Knas. Now, the Gemara knows at this point something which we're going to say in a second, that you can pretend that the Gemara is going to spell it out in a minute further in the discussion. The Gemara knows that there can potentially be an Eved who is a manuvel of mukeshchin. He's unattractive, he's ugly, and he's got sores all over his body. So therefore, he has no real monetary value because nobody wants such an Eved. But on the face of it, any Eved still has an automatic thing that there's a potential knas because the din of knas, the general knasim in the Torah are always a fixed amount or a fixed percentage or whatever. Regardless of the actual value of the thing. So in the case of an Eved, it doesn't matter whether he's worth $1 million or whether he's worth nothing. If he's gored and killed by an ox, you pay 30 shkalim to his master. So even an Eved who has no value, even an Eved with minuval and mukashin, still has that potential value of 30 shkalim if he gets killed. So therefore, the Isakadatah Eved Shemacher Rabbele Knas Macher, if you're going to tell me that you are able to sell an Eved only insofar as the Knas, then how would you have? Inevitably, an Eved would always have a potential value because at the very least, you could get the Knas out of him. The fact that you're not saying that implies that that's not something that can validly be sold. But yes, you can have an Eved, which to you yourself as a master, he's worthless because he's minuval mukashrin, and you're not able to sell the ability to collect the knas to somebody else. So therefore, you can't even there's no monetary value even to be had in selling him to somebody else.
Okay.
He's a minuval mukashrin. As the Gemara is going to spell out in a second, he's ugly and he's covered with sores. Potentially, he could get gored. So that would give you a knas of 30 shkolim, but that's not considered a monetary value because a knas is not directly tied to monetary value. But if we're saying that you'd be able to sell that ability to collect the knas, that's a monetary value. You have the ability to sell him to somebody else on the chance that he gets gored and killed by an ox. And that would have a monetary value. The fact that the Braisa is implying that it's telling us that there's an Eved who has absolutely no monetary value implies that you're not capable of selling him only for that knas. That's the point. If we said that it's possible to sell him for a knas, that's what we're saying. Based on that Braisa, it seems you can't sell him only for the knas. And you can't sell him work as an actual Eved because nobody's going to buy him under such circumstances.
That's not your question.
Yeah.
So how much value, let's say, if you say he's got a value of one pruta, can you sell him for 30 shkalim?
Well, nobody's going to buy him for 30 shkalim on the off chance he gets gored by an ox, necessarily.
The knas for 30 shkalim.
No, that's what I'm saying. Nobody's going to buy the knas for 30 shkalim because it would be the equivalent of buying a stock for $30 that might be worth $30 at some future time. Nobody's going
to
do that.
He has to be at least worth 30 shekel.
No, but not necessarily. No, the point is, you could sell somebody that, here, you pay me one shekel, and should it happen, he gets gored, then you get 30 shekel for your investment of one shekel.
That would work.
It's workable, yeah, if you want, if you can find somebody.
Yeah, the value is less than the 30 shekel.
Doesn't matter. The point is, he has some value, even if it's only one pruta, yeah. So that's the question. How do you have an Eved who is not even saleable for the knas? The answer is Ika Eved Trefa. Yes, because you could say you have a case where the Eved is already a Trefa. He's injured in some way that he's not going to live for 12 months. In that case, no knas is paid for him because we have a general rule in Torah that a person who is Trefa is to a certain extent already considered as if he's a dead man walking.
Not a minor limb.
Trefa is one of the things. It means one of the injuries that if it was in an animal, for example, it wouldn't be able to live 12 months. And in a person also. It's the same thing as with an animal, for example. If an animal is just weak because of old age, that's not considered trefa. Mr. Kenneth, it might be, but no. Trefa is where it has. One of the 18 things that listed in the Mishnah, or that I'm on the fans of the 70, but considering all of the details Gemara mentions, it's called in 70 different conditions that make an animal a trefa. holes in the lungs, a missing leg above a certain point of the leg, a duplicate of certain organs, a hole in the skull, real things, yeah. So if he's a tereifa, and this comes up in many areas in halacha, for example, the din is that if a person kills a tereifa, he's not chayiv misa. By the same token, he's not chayiv misa. You can't, right. It's not that his wife and life is worth less, but the fact is he's not considered fully alive at this point because he's a tereifa. So therefore, by the same token, if he gets gored and killed by an ox, there's no knas. There you go then. So even if you argue that ordinarily an eved could be sold only insofar as a knas, but here, this particular eved doesn't even have that value. You can't prove anything from that. Okay, the question is, well, chazi v'mekam kamei, fine, but if you're going to go that way, at least fine. This eved may be a tereifa, but at least he has the ability to do other kinds of work, fine. He's going to die within the next 12 months. So what? Fine. During the next 12 months, there's some kind of work that he can stand in front of another master and do. And the answer is, here's where it comes in, with manuvel amukashkin. Yes, but suppose that in addition to being a tereifa, he's also ugly or disfigured or whatever. And also amukashkin, also he has sores or whatever, some kind of skin condition. With all those things taken together, you're not going to find anybody who's going to be willing to buy him, lemeikam kamei, to stand in front of him and serve him for the next 12 months. Knas he's not going to get because he's a tereifa. Therefore, you're left with nothing. But that doesn't prove that with a healthy eved, you couldn't sell him for the knas. And again, the Gemara leaves the question unresolved. And if I remember correctly, the Rambam paskins that you cannot sell an eved for the knas. Actually, I think what the Rambam says is that if you sold him in that way, then the new owner can't collect the knas. But because you have to prove that the halacha is that he's allowed to collect it. He can top us, but if he grabs a hold of that money for the knas from the owner of the ox, ain't me seeing me yada, you can't take it away from him because again, you can't prove that he shouldn't get it either. If I remember correctly, that's how it I'm asking. More on the matter of Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chorin, Iboilahu. They had a question. Misha Chetzi Eved v'Chetzi Ben Chorin, Shekidish Bas Chorin. This half-free, half-slave person, if he's Mekadish, a free Jewish woman, Mahu, what's the din? Is it a valid condition or not? Imtim Saloima. Now, you can look at it like this. We're going to learn in Kiddushin, then we're going to have a discussion near the beginning of it about various cases of, so to speak, half-Kiddushin. We said he's not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael, but here we're talking about Kiddushin. Kiddushin in and of themselves is not a violation of any Yisr. For him to have relations with a Bas Chorin would be a problem for the half of the Hemet that's the Hemet. Here we're talking about the Kiddushin.
It would be Chal in other words.
That's the question. Is the Kiddushin Chal or not? So in Kiddushin, we're going to learn about various cases involving half Kiddushin. So in Timtzaloima, you could look at it as follows. There's a case in Kiddushin that talks about Ben Yisrael Sha'am Labas Yisrael Hiskachi L'Chetzi. You have a regular Yid, a full-fledged Yid, who says to a full-fledged Jewish woman, Hiskachi L'Chetzi, be Mekodesh with this Pruta to half of me. Mekodeshes. So the Gemara discusses over there in Kiddushin and comes to the conclusion that she is in fact Mekodesh. Why the Chazi L'Kule? Because it's suitable to, she could have been Mekodesh to all of him. Now, what does he mean? Rashi says, what does he mean when he says, you're Mekodesh to half of me? Effectively, it's the equivalent of saying, I'm leaving myself the option to marry another woman as well. Remember, this is before Chaim Dev Benegershin, if I want. So you're Mekodesh to only half of me in the sense that once we're married and I have two wives, you're going to only have half of me. But that's a valid condition because she could have been Mekodesh to all of him. That is true, but the fact is, it's true, he doesn't need that condition to say that, but in other words, the point is, saying Iskachi Lezachetzi is valid because it's possible for a woman to effectively be married to only half a man. No, that's true, yeah, right, we're going to talk about that. The difference is that a woman can't be married to two husbands, right. So then, Dechadi Lekulei. In that case, though, the difference is she could have been Mekodesh to all of him. Well, Ha'olah Chazi L'Kulei. In this case, she can't be Mekodesh to all of him because half of him is an Eved. So maybe there'd be reason to argue that it's no good. On the other hand, you can look at it as the Gemara also discusses over there, that if a Yisrael is Mekadesh half a woman, we say over there, ain't a Mekodesh, she's not Mekodesh, the Shir B'Kinyon, because he left over some of his Kinyon undone. And because, right, because the idea that a woman can't be married to two men at the same time, so there's no way that you can say that half of a woman is Mekudesh to one person, implying on the other half is available to be Mekudesh to the other one. In that case, the problem is the shear of the kinyani. The problem is that he left some of the kinyan undone. Well, in this case, he didn't leave anything undone. It was Mekadesh, all of him that could possibly be Mekadesh. The other half of him is an Eved, which is not Shayach to Kedushin. The half of him, that's a Ben Karin, that, as far as that half is concerned, that's a complete Kedushin. So my, what's the din? Tashma, so it comes up true from a Braisa that we quoted yesterday. We said yesterday that if a Shur kills somebody who is half Eved and half Ben Karin, Noisen Chafi Knaf Budaba, he pays half the Knaf to his master. Chafi Koifer LeYoshev, and he also pays, this is we're talking about a Shur Muad, who's already gored people three times, then you pay half the koifer, the koifer, the amount that the owner of the shur is supposed to pay, basically to keep, basically to save himself from being punished by the Eibishter. Really, the puzzle is that shur he's talking about gambal of yumos, but yumos doesn't mean he gets put to death. It means he's chayv misa b'dei shemayim, so he pays the koifer like to redeem himself. That's the question. Wait, b'chatzi koifer leYoshev, he pays half the koifer to the Eved heirs. Now we've got to ask. We have a kedusha, a lot of kedushin. So if you're going to tell me that this chetzi eved and chetzi ben chorin is not able to do a valid kedushin, yoshim and ole, then where does he have yoshim from? Okay, Tosfos points out that technically, I mean, if an eved has relations with a woman, then that child will yoshim from him. What it is, in other words, actually, Tosfos brings from a Gemara that we learned in Yevamos that even a child as a mamzer is still a Yashin thing. But Tosfos says over here, by an Eved, or Chetzi Eved, where the Kedushin may not even be Tosfos, that's even worse. Because effectively what you have is he himself is as if he's like two people in one. He's an Eved and a Ben Chorin at the same time. So the half of him that's an Eved is having relations with an Eshes Ish, because she's an Eshes Ish to his other half, to the Ben Chorin half. So what Tosfos ends up saying is that no, if we're going to say over here that the Kedushin is not valid, what we're also going to say is any child that he might have with a woman, not forget about Mamzer, that child is not even considered to be Miyuchas after him. Because if we're saying that it's not Tosfos because he's Chetzi Eved, then that's it. Like any Eved, he doesn't, his children are not Miyuchas after him. But yeah. So obviously, if we're saying that he has Yoshin, implies he must have the ability to be Mekadesh a woman. Maybe the child will be a mamzer, fine, that's what Tosfos is saying, that even a mamzer can yarushin from his father. But evidently that shows that at least he's able to contract kedushin. No, you could say that we're talking about actually again, that the shur didn't actually kill him, it only made him a tshefer, he's going to die soon, but he's not dead yet. Well, my Yoshev nakshe, and what do we mean when we say Yoshev? We actually mean he himself is going to get that half a kofer. Because he's a tshefer, he's already, like we said before, he's already a dead man walking. Therefore, if Adab Ava holds, he should be entitled to collect the kofer, because for certain purposes in Halacha, we consider him dead already. And therefore, you go, that's what we mean. When we say Yosha, we mean himself. That's what the Gemara is going to ask. Omer Rava, Shtei Trumas Medover. So Rava says that two things to contradict that. Chavad Yosha Chatzani. Number one, it said Yosha, his heirs, didn't say anything about himself. But oh, Kofer, who, and second of all, we're talking about over here about Kofer. But Amr Shlokish, Kofer and Mishdalim, Elalach HaMisa. The Kofer actually only gets paid literally after the person is dead, not even when he's a Tshefer. So if he's a Tshefer, there's no Kofer yet. So there's still, you can't say that he himself gets the Kofer. Elo Amr Rava, no. What it means is Roy Little the Enloy. It means by rights he should be getting the Kofer, but there's nobody to get it. He himself can't, because it won't be payable until he's dead. And he has no Yoshim, because if we assume that he can't do Kedushin, then he may not have any Yoshim. So therefore, that's it. It means that the owner of that shur by rights should have to pay that half a kofer, but in practice, there's nobody to pay it to. Interesting thing, Gilead Ashas over here, Rabbi Akiva Eger, references a tshuva from the pre-Kaddush. The discussion is, so let's say we go with Rabbi Adabah's idea that he's a tshefer. Suppose that he became a tshefer. After that, let's say his master fully frees him. Right now he's chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin. Sometime between when he becomes a tshefer from the goring and when he dies, his master completely frees him, gives him a get shikur. At that point, he's a mekadesh a woman. Then he's a ben chorin. He can certainly be a mekadesh. Yeah, he has children. Wouldn't he have yoshim then? So the Pri Chadosh says, based on that, you must say that a tshefer is not able to father children. which gets into a tremendous amount of discussion among the Achronim whether indeed that's the case, or there may be, is that maybe a general rule, but there are exceptions to it. And in fact, the Chassam Sofer talks about it, the Shagas Haria talks about it, but actually maybe not necessarily. Maybe a Tzrefer is indeed able to have children. Ordinarily, it would be a very rare case, but maybe that's indeed why we're using the word Yoshev, as if to say, if indeed he does end up having Yoshim, then yes, they will get it, if we have a scenario like that. But if not, then that's what the Gemara is saying. If he was freed before he passed away and then married and then fathered a child, yeah. Then yes, that child might Yoshim it. But the Gemara is talking about the ordinary case where that doesn't happen, and therefore there's nobody for the owner of the ox to pay the kofar to. On the other, Shagas Aliya talks about that maybe not necessarily since when he was good, he was an Eved and didn't have the ability to have children or Yarshan him, he's a Chetzi Eved actually. If we say that a Chetzi Eved can't do Kedushin, which is what we're dealing with over here, if we say that, we might say since when he was good, he was unable to do Kedushin, even though not improved, a Tereza never improved by definition. Even though afterwards he was freed and then was Makadosh a woman and had children, we would still say maybe that those children still are not able to Yarshin that Knaf was that Kofer that would have been owing to him when he was a Chetiyahed, when he was unable to do Kedushin.
How do you know that a Tereza will never include?
That's the definition of a Tereza. That's the definition of a Tereza. It's an injury that the animal, the person, life-threatening injury that's going to kill the animal or the person within 12 months. Yeah. Indeed. Famous story they tell about a Rav who was one of the Chassidim of the Tzemach Tzedek, that he had some kind of lung disease about which there's a machlokus. If this disease happens in an animal, the Beis Yosef says the animal is kosher and the Ramah says it's safe. But this Rav figured to himself, you know what, right now I'm living in Poland or Russia, wherever it was he's living, we follow the Ramah, and therefore I'm not going to live in this. Let me move to Eretz Yisrael. The Beis Yosef is the one whose opinions are accepted over there. He's a motor doctor over there. And then the halakha will be decided like him. How did he move to Eretz Yisrael and he lived there for another 20 years?
it's
a well-known story. You can find it for the Siddim and other sources. Yeah.
He's a source of Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, those sorts of Eretz Yisrael, but also the point is that the Eretz Yisrael is the halakha in each place according to the motor doctor, yeah. Omer Rava, going back to this question about the half Eved, half Ben Chorin being a Kaddish, Omer Rava, Kishem Sha Makaddish Chatzi Isha Einu Mekodeshes, just like if somebody is Makaddish half a woman, she's not Mekodesh, because like we said, a woman is not able to be Mekodesh to two people. Kach Chetzi Shifa B'Chatzi Vachon, she discard Sha Ein Kaddish Ha Kaddishin. The same way, if you have a woman who is half Shifa and half Free, is not able to be Niskaddish. The question about the Eved who's half Ben Chorin and half Eved, we left that hanging. But now Rava is saying, even if we say that he can be Mekadosh, but she can't be, a Shifcha in that condition can't be Mekadosh. Dorosh Rava Bar Avona, so Rava Bar Avona one time darshan the same thing, Kishem Sha Mekadosh Chatzi Isha Einu Mekadoshes, Kachetzi Shifcha V'chetzi Bas Chorin, she discard Sha Einu Mekadoshes. Rava Bar Avona one time darshan the same way, in public. However, Amalei Rav Chisda, mi dami, how could you compare it? Hosam shir b'kinyane, hachala shir b'kinyane. With a woman who is completely baschurin and yomakadish, only half of her, we said that's no good, because what do you mean? What's supposed to happen with the other half? The other half can't possibly be niskadish to somebody else. It's not going to be nispashit in all of her without her consent. And therefore we say it's no good. By the chetzi shifa, the chetzi baschurin, hachala shir b'kinyane. He hasn't left anything over. Every part of her that's able to be Niskadish, the half of her that is free, he was Niskadish. What's the problem?
100%
of the 50%. 100% of the 50%, exactly. So, Rav Baravona Amora Ale. So, afterwards, Rav Baravona set up an Amora in front of him, and that he's going to make another public Drasha, the Dorosh, and he Darshan as follows. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, V'amachshela hazo is tachas yodecha. This stumbling block is under your hand. Is under your control. The Pasuk's talking about the context. The Pasuk's talking about over there is that the people are going to go to somebody who has an appearance of a Talmud Chacham that you look like somebody, you look like a Guta Yid. You be our Rav. You be our Talmud Chacham. Which means Ein Omen Al Tiber Torah and Ken Nichshav Behen. A person does not fully be able to understand a concept in Torah unless he first stumbled on it. That's why the Torah, in other words, is called a Machshela. So these people are telling this person, you look like a Talmud Chacham, you surely have under your control even those kinds of things that a person first has to stumble over, first has to make a mistake in before he gets it right. So we see that there is this, anyway, we see from that pasuk there is this concept that a person makes a mistake in Torah, and then they understand the concept all the better because of that. So therefore, Rabbi Baruch Huna is using that as an introduction to his own Jerusha. What I said before is a mistake. I made a mistake, now I understand it correctly. It could be either one. I mean, the Torah only goes by somebody who's humble, Mamayim Yerim, Makam Royal, Makam Namos, etc., yes. So he says, no, rather, even though the Chachamim have told us that if you Makadish half a woman, she's not Makadish, but if it was Chetzi Shifl, Chetzi Baschorin, that Kedushin would work. My time? Why? Because the idea that Rav Chisda just said, when it comes to a woman who's a full Baschorin and he left some part of her unMakadish, he was Makadish 100% of the 50% that's available.
But the
fact is, the half of her that's a shivka is not chazia to him anyway because she's a shivka. He's a ben chorin, but the half of him, the half of her that's a bas chorin is available to him. Okay, we're going to revisit this a little further. We're going to revisit this more on a day's way. Omer of Sheshes, however, of Sheshes says, "Kishem sham kadosh chati sheinu mekadoshet, kach chetzi shivcha v'chetzi bas chorin shen kach sheinu kadosh kadoshet." So Rav Sheshes says the same thing that Rava had said and the same thing that Rabbi Baruch Huna said at first before he changed his mind. The Rav Sheshes says the same thing, and he continues. Now, if somebody whispers to you and say, "Wait a minute, what about what we learn that Ezi Shivcha Charufa? What does it mean a Shivcha Charufa? The case that where the Torah says the person is mezanim with her, he has to bring an Osham and she gets an office. What is that case? It's a case of a woman who is exactly this, half Shivcha, half Wee, who is Ma'uris, who is Makudish, to an Eved Ivri. Now, Rashi points out, technically, it doesn't have to be an Eved Ivri in principle. It could be, on the face of it, we're talking an Eved Ivri, because an Eved Ivri is the only one who can be married to a Shivcha and a Bachurin. An Eved Ivri is allowed, his master is allowed to marry him off to a Shivcha Knanis, as it says in Parashas Mishpatim. He's allowed to marry a Bachurin, because he is a Yid. No, because if he's allowed to marry the two different women, then he's allowed to be married to one who's both of them. But Tosfos says that actually, technically, it could apply to any other Yisrael as well. If she's Makodesh to a regular Yisrael as well, and then somebody else is Mizana with her, it would still, according to that Mishnah and Tosfos, it would still be the same thing. That other person is Chayev an Asham. So Alma Bas Itzrusi. So you see that a Chetzi Shivcha v'Chetzi Bas Chorin is capable of Kedushin. So therefore, Rav Sheshes is going to say, you're going to tell me, Dan, what are you telling me that there's not possible to do Kedushin with her? Because, like the case of being a Kaddish only half a woman, you see from that Mishnah in Chrysalis that it is possible to. And more like, you should tell him, Chloch Eitzel Rabbi Shmuel, very nice, that was the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, but instead, have a look at what Chloch literally means go to, have a look at what Rabbi Shmuel says. He says that it's actually talking about a Shivcha Knanis, a full-fledged Shivcha Knanis, who is Ma'uras, who is Makodesh to an Eved Ivri. Now, you have to ask yourself, a Shivcha Knanis Bas Yitzrusi, a full-fledged Shivcha Knanis, of course, is not someone who was capable of being Eidosin with. That everybody agrees to. El Amai Yitzvah HaMemar, so necessarily what do you have to say in order to explain Rabbi Shmuel's opinion? My Mu'uresef Yuchedes, you have to say that what did he mean by the word Mu'uresef? He doesn't really mean that there was official Eidosin that are actually valid Mahalacha. He just means Mi'uchedes. He just means that something was done that to designate she is going to be the wife of this, and she's going to be the wife of this Eved Ivri, but not an official kedushin.
To have children,
that's a shifra status we're talking about.
What's the problem here?
Not a problem, but the problem is that Rabbi Shmuel calls it that she's Mu'uresis. But now, a Shivcha Knanis, there's no real Eresin possible. In that case, it's an extramarital, it's a non-marital relationship. But that's the point. It's not an official Eresin. It's common law marriage, basically. And yet, he's calling it Eresin. So obviously, he's using the word Eresin in a looser sense to mean Miuchedes, that she was designated, she's going to be specifically his partner. You could say the same thing in Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Even when he says that he says she's Chetzi Bas Chorin, but he uses the same word Mu'uresef, he could also be using it in a looser sense of Miuchedes, that she was designated for him, but not that there was an official Eresin possible. So therefore, Rav Sheshes says that Mishnah And that Mishnah is no contradiction to my opinion that there's no Kiddushin possible with her. Amar of Chista. Here's another case. Chet Yishiv from a Chet Yishiv Ascharin Shneskanshal Rubin. Suppose you have, let's assume, as Rav Chista said before, that it is valid to do Kiddushin with a Chet Yishiv from a Chet Yishiv Ascharin. So suppose Rubin, brother number one, was Mekanisher, Vinishtachra, then she was freed, Vachazer Vinskanshal Shimon, then she accepted Kiddushin from Shimon, his brother, Umesu Shneim, and both of them died. Misyabemis Lo Levi, she can do Yibum with the third brother Levi. Now, we're not talking about Reuben didn't divorce her. Reuben was Mekadisher. Then she was freed. Then Shimon was Mekadisher. Now, that's basically the question. You can look at it. You can look at it like this. If Reuben's Kiddushin are fully valid, then Shimon's Kiddushin aren't worth anything because she's an Ashes Ish. Right? He can't be Mekadish of somebody else's Ashes Ish. So, therefore, she's only considered Reuben's wife. If you say that Reuben's Kiddushin are not valid, then Shimon's Kiddushin are valid once she becomes a Bachur, and then all then Shimon's Kiddushin are able to take effect. No, you can't say that. Therefore, the Eina Nikona Ba'eshis Shnei Mesim. Therefore, you cannot call this a case, which we talked about in Yavamis, of a woman who has a Zika from two different husbands. It actually brings the case that we had over there. He had three brothers where one of them did Maimer with the Yavama, and then he died, and so forth. So we said over there that then you have so one of them died, the second one does Maimer with her, and then does Maimer Kiddushin, which are valid by Yavama, and then he dies. If she were to go and do Yibum with Levi, that's a problem because she still has an unfulfilled Zika from Reuven. She has Midrabanan and an unfulfilled Zika with Shimon because of the Maimer. And therefore, she's Ashes Shnei Mesim. She's a wife of two, effectively the wife of two dead men, and therefore, Levi can't be Miyavim. We have to do Chalitza. Actually, Tosfos points out that particular case is Dinabonin, but there are other cases where you could have Zika Shnei Yavamim, which would be Daraisa, and indeed, that, and indeed, Yibum can't be done there with Daraisa. Right, but in this case, she's not considered Ashes Shnei Mesim, because Monoshech, because no matter how you look at it, E Kiddushin de Reuven Kiddushin, if you're going to say that Reuven's Kiddushin are considered valid Kiddushin, Kiddushin to Shimon Lav Kiddushin, then Shimon's are not, because she's already an Ashes Ish. The E Kiddushin to Shimon Kiddushin, Kiddushin to Reuven Lav Kiddushin. So either way, she's only a wife of one. She's only a wife of one brother, either Reuven or Shimon, but not both. And the Farshim discussed the question why Rav Chista is phrasing it in terms of the suffix if he said before definitively that the Kiddushin are chal. Itzmar. Now they had another discussion. If she was niskadish to Reuven, let me expand on that a little bit. What I just said, why is Rav Chista presenting it as a suffix if he said definitively? So Rashi said, on Aleph, he said Rav Chista had told Zava Bar Avuna that you can't compare the case of being Mekadosh half a woman and being Mekadosh chetzi shifu b'chetzi b'scharin. One is not chal, the other one is. So why is Rav Chista phrasing it here in terms of a suffix, if Reuven's Kiddushin are chal, or if Shimon's Kiddushin? So Rashi says, okay, it's true, Rav Chista himself knows, but there are the other Amoraim. So he's saying no matter which opinion of the Amoraim you take, it should be okay. And Tosfos says a little bit differently that even Rav Chista himself might have a suffix. Would we say after she becomes a bas churin, fine? Rav Chista himself might say as long as she chetz shivchav chetz bas churin, the kiddushin are in effect. But once she becomes a bas churin, as the Gemara is going to discuss now, do those kiddushin evaporate? Maybe now at this point she's not considered to have any valid kiddushin, and if even Rav Chista might still have a suffix, which is the next thing. Wait, we'll talk about that next. Itmar, chet yeshivcha v'chet v'atzorin sh'niskadish to Reuven, if this chet yeshivcha v'chet v'atzorin was niskadish to Reuven, v'nishtachra, and then she was freed, v'chazir v'niskadish to Shimon, and then she was niskadish to Shimon. Now here, Shimon doesn't have to be Reuven's brother. Here, Shimon could just be another person. Rav Yosef b'chama amr av nachman poku kiddushin roshin. So he says that the kiddushin of the first one evaporate. Why? Because now she says, nishtana gufa, because now that she became fully free, she's considered her, the goof has changed. It's like a Gershon Iscariot cotton Shanova dummy. She's like a newborn baby. Her old reality doesn't exist anymore. They talk about half of her was free from beforehand, fine, but one idea is when we say that somebody is half free and half slave, it means every molecule in their body, every cell in their body is half free, half slave. So yes, when she becomes completely free, every cell of her body has undergone that change. So that's one way. Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Nachman, Gomru Kedusha Rishon, whereas Rav Zeira says in the name of Rav Nachman that no, the Kedusha of the first one are completed at that point. Up until now, it was only a half Kedusha. So in particular, if somebody else was to be Mizana with her, then again, there would only be the maximum in Asham Tolerim. Now, once she becomes a Bas Chorin, those original Kedushin fully take effect, and she's fully an Asia Station. If somebody else is on it with her, then he's Chayat Mitzvah. That's the Chorin to Zed Omer Nachman. It's not a matter of intent. I mean, how is the it's an objective question. What happens to the Kedushin? See, both of them are saying in the name of Rav Nachman. Evidently, Rav Yosef Bachomer and Rav Zeira disagreed what Rav Nachman said. It seems more logical to go according to my understanding that the original condition become fully in effect, not that they disappear. This dichtiv, because you have again the pasuk by the shivcha charufa. The pasuk says lo yumasu ki loichu pasha. Neither of them, the man who was mezana with her or the woman, the chetzi shivcha v'chetzi v'acharin, are to be put to death ki loichu pasha, because she was not free. Which implies Hachu Pasha Yumasu. But if she were to be freed, then yes, both of them are liable to the death penalty if it was bemazid. So we see that she was Niskadish before.
Which is what Rav Zeira is saying.
That's the point. That's what Rav Zeira is saying. This woman was Niskadish before she had Kedushin with this Eved Ivri, or technically it could have been, like Rashi said, it could have even been any other person. Now when she's, and the Pasuk is saying, if somebody is Mizana with her at that point, there's no Chiyuv Misa, but if she gets freed, then immediately the Chiyuv Misa comes into effect. Do you see exactly what he's saying? That the Kedushin are fully Chal, not that they disappear. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya says to him, Ultana Devera Bishmol, the Mashifa Knanis, Hamoresis Levit Ivri. What about going back to, we had the explanation of Rabbi Shmuel, what a Shifcha Harufa is, that it means she's a full-fledged Shifcha Knanis, Hamoresis Levit Ivri, who's Makurdish to an Evid Ivri. And you're telling me, so you're going to say, would you say the same thing, that the Pasuk is implying that if she was Niskadish to him as a full Shifcha Knanis, where there's no real Kedushin possible, and then she's freed, you'd argue also that those non-Kedushin all of a sudden become Kedushin? Obviously not. So, Elamai Yisrach Lameimah, Shechup Pasha V'chazir V'Niskadisha, necessarily what the Pasuk is telling us is, what do I mean, Lo Yumasu Ki Lo Yechup Pasha, that there was no valid Kedushin before she was freed. And there's no, and therefore, when what happened? She was first freed, and then she was niskadish. That's when there would be a chiyuv misa. Hachanami shechuparsha because of a niskadish. The same thing when she's chetzi eved b'chetzi bachurin. You could argue the same thing. Rabbi Yosef Bachama would argue that this rabbi is arguing in his name you could say the pasuk is just telling us that if she's chetzi shivcha b'chetzi bachurin, kedushin was done. That kedushin makes it. That kedushin triggers now. If somebody's mizana with her, they'll be the asham. If she then gets freed, those kedushin disappear. If now, after she's freed, she's niskadish, those are a full-fledged kedushin, and then there's a chiyuv misa. Maybe that's what the pasuk has to be telling us. Not necessarily can you say that that the original kedushin from before she was niskadish, from before she was nishachar, from before she was freed, would be chal now. Maybe indeed they disappear, like Rabbi Yosef Bachama said. Omer of Hunda Bakatina, Omer of Yitzchok, So we don't know. Omer of Hunda Bakatina, Omer of Yitzchok, Maisa Be'isha Achat Shechetzi Shishcha V'chetzi Vascharin. It happened once that there was a woman who was half slave, half free, the Kofuot Rav Vasa Ben Charin, and they forced her master to free her completely. So we have to ask Kaman, Rabbi Yechon and Bereita. That seems to be according to the opinion of Rabbi Yechon and Bereita. To Omar, he says, we learned this last year in Yavamas, Al Shneim Oim V'Yivarach Ha'itim Alakim V'Yem V'Yem Pru Avu Milu V'Yem. We learned in the Gemara there, in the Mishnah, and in the Gemara there, a discussion, is the mitzvah of Pru Avu only on men, or is it on women as well? Rabbi Yechon and Bereita says that it applies equally to women, because the Pasuk says, V'Yem V'Lahem Alakim, if they wish to say to them, or the man Chava. Yeah. Well, that's what we discussed yesterday, that Puruvu, and certainly Lo Toru Barah, the Shevis Tzara, applies even to Gadim, even to Avadim, etc. If we're saying that this was a Chetzi Shifcha, the Chetzi Batcharin, and we forced her master to flee her, just like we said in the Mishnah, that they still agreed with the Shammai, they have to do for an Eved, evidently that would have to be according to the opinion that you have the same problem with her as you have with him. She's not able to marry, therefore she can't be Mekayim Peri Verivya. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, no, that's not the case over here, because the situation here is minig hefter nagua. They were treating her as hefter. The people were being mizana with her because she was unable to marry anybody. Therefore, people felt free that she herself, wasn't holding herself back from being mizana, and other people were being mizana with her. So like this, what do we accomplish by freeing her? One possibility is she gets married, and once she's married, then her husband hopefully will be able to keep things in check. Or even if she doesn't get married, before she can say, okay, she'll be a pnuya, but at least, okay, being mizana with a pnuya is not as serious as being mizana with a shifcha. A shifcha is an actual isu daraisa. A pnuya, according to many opinions, is only also the rabbanon.
What's pnuya?
An unmarried woman.
Just an unmarried woman.
An unmarried woman.
Doing with a slave woman is worse than doing with just an unmarried woman.
So according to the Rambam, maybe not. Because according to the Rambam, znus for the pnuya is also under the issue of loisi yekdesha. But according to everybody else, according to the Raivad, and according to everybody else, yeah, we talked about this before, according to everybody agrees that relations between a Yid and between a Yisrael and a Shivcha are also under that issue of loisi yekdesha. So therefore, according to the Rambam, maybe fine. There's no great advantage if she's a pnuya. According to the Rambam, the advantage would be that she can get married, and then once she's married, people will stay away from her. But according to everybody else, you're gaining, even if she stays a pnuya, you're still gaining that people aren't over on this issue of loisi yekdesha anymore.
So how often are people going to be able to demand that she's a slave, that the master wasn't spouted?
He wasn't able to, that's the thing, because he wasn't. The fact is, he wasn't keeping her under lock and key 24/7, so she was in. Tosfos actually discusses the other day the question. Usually, we say that you don't tell one person do an avera for the benefit to prevent somebody else who's being careless with mitzvahs from doing an avera. We have that concept in a few places in Shas. Now, we learned the other day it's an iser eser to be meshacher and eved. How can we force this master to free her because she's being careless with nus? Fine, but he maybe doesn't have the ability to protect her. He can't keep her
locked in. Or maybe he doesn't mind because the kid's his slave.
She's chetzi avid, chetzi bachor, not necessarily. But no, the Tosfos actually answers. The thing is, because we're not so much talking about her, but there's first of all, Tosfos says there's two possibilities. Number one, it's a mitzvah derabim over here. There's rabim that are being nishal with her.
Right.
Second of all, Tosfos says she was seducing men into it. Look, I'm free, I'm unable, I'm unattached anyway. We might as well have fun.
Right.
So therefore, it's not so much her, it's the other people for the benefit of the other people
right.
Tosfos uses the word, they're almost being forced into being the diner with her.
She was chatz, yeah.
She was chatz, right. Fine, he was over. Okay, he was over.
But wait a minute, you're saying it's something you shouldn't free an eved.
Usually you're not supposed to, but there are exceptions. One of them is L'dvar Mitzvah, like we talked about the other day with Rabbi Eliezer and his slave.
Right.
Especially Tosfos says Mitzvah D'Rabim, where it's a Mitzvah that involves the public. And also, Tosfos says, because of the year, it's not so much to protect her, it's to protect the other people, it's to protect the men who are being seduced by her.
Who said that applied to a
chetzi? It was applied to a full, but it applied to a chetzi, same thing. There are, actually, now that you mention it, there are other Rishonim who say that maybe the whole problem doesn't exist in the first place, because since, well, no, that's the thing. With an Eved, yes, since the Mishnah told us that an Eved has to be a half Eved, half Ben Chorin, that the Sibyl eventually agreed with the Shammah that you have to free him because of period of Redivia, then fine, you could argue, since at this point, therefore, we don't want his master to have any control over him anymore, fine, you can argue there's no issue in being Meshacharim at that point. A Shivcha, where were it not for this problem of Znus, there's no mitzvah to be Meshacharim, because the Havach is not like a Rechim and Berecha, that women are Chayiv and Pru'eru, then you would be over. You would be over on Olam Baham Tavodu unless you have an opposing consideration such as in this case Mitzvah Derabim.
You know what? If one of the Shutim died, no Yoshim.
I suppose that's that. Yeah, I guess it should also be a Chetzi, yeah.
No,
okay, so maybe there could happen. I guess that it happens without anybody doing Aveda. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Let's do the Mishnah and a little bit of the Gemara. Mishnah says, "Hamloicha avdil oivdik achavim." If somebody sells his slave to a guy, or the chutzlar, so he sells it to a yid who lives in chutzlar, yosef ben chorin, he automatically goes free. Which means, Rashi says, what does it mean? It automatically goes free. If he runs away from that guy or from that other yid, then he's automatically free. Or Rashi says another possibility. We're going to learn later in the Gemara that the chachamim, if a person sells his eved, the chachamim to a guy, the chachamim canceled him. He has to buy him back, even for much more than his original value. Once he buys him back, automatically he's going to be free. This is a knas, because in the case of selling him to a goy, you're preventing him from doing mitzvahs. The mitzvah said an eved is chayav. In the case where you're selling him to chutz la'aretz, you took him out of Eretz Yisrael. Either some mafarshim talk about it because of the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. We learned about this at the end of Ksuvos. Other mafarshim say it's not so much that. It's that he prevents him from doing the mitzvahs that are tzluyas la'aretz, the mitzvahs that apply only in Eretz Yisrael.
So there is a mitzvah.
No, but there's a difference. Is there an intrinsic mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael independent of the mitzvahs that tzluyas la'aretz, or is it only because of the mitzvahs that tzluyas la'aretz?
Either way.
It's just two different ways of looking at it. So Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan, Hamoicher Abdul Ovi Kachavim Yatzel Lachayros." If somebody sells his slave to a goy, then the slave goes free. But Tzarach gets Shichru Merabi Rishon. However, he does need, in order to be officially free and in order to be able to marry Bas Yisrael, he needs to get Shichru from his first master. Amar Reb Shimon Gamliel, the Medvar Malum Shle Kosev Ala Oynoi. When is this talking about? If he didn't write an Oynoi, an Oynoi is a shtar. What kind of shtar? We'll talk about in a second. Abakosav, all of Oynoi, what Reb Shimon Gamliel says, if he wrote a shtar on his behalf, zo shichruri, then that automatically constitutes the shichruri.
Not any shtar.
What kind of shtar? A certain kind. My Oynoi, Omer of Sheshes, the kosav lehochi, it means that he wrote him like this in the shtar. L'shetivrach mimenu, if you end up escaping from this goyish master, ainli esikbach, I have no further dealings with you, meaning, at that point, I'm machker you. But therefore, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, by saying that, then therefore, so if he ends up running away from that guy, then yes, automatically, based on that Oynoi, then automatically at that point he's free. He doesn't need another shtar.
But he was talking about a
That's what we're talking about, a Mercher Abdo. We're saying that right now this Eved is in the hands of the goy. It's not like he's not free. Practically speaking, the goy is going to make him work. But if when the master is selling him, he gives him a shtar that says that if you run away from this goy, ainli esikbach, I'm not going to try to take you back and keep you as a slave, then at that point, that already constitutes a shifu. Therefore, he doesn't need another get shifu. Because you could argue that one, that, so that's the thing. So Tosfos discusses, because the fact of the matter is that when he sells him to the goy, we learned the other day that a goy is not able to own an eved, is not able to own an eved guf. He can only own an eved maisi yadav. So therefore, the original master, to a certain extent, still owns the guf of the eved. Therefore, conceivably, he could have had, he runs away from the guy, I still have a kinyan aguf over you. But if he writes out this Oynoi saying, I have no more kinyan aguf over you, then that's it. Reb Shimon Gamliel says that itself constitutes a shtar shechel. Okay.